Thank you so much for having me here today. As Juan said, I would like to talk about some nonlinear ties in binary neutron stars. So let's get started with some background introductions. We know that binary neutron stars are important sources for gravitational wave observations. And because of matter distribution inside a neutron star, the gravitational waveform from a binary neutron star will be different from the binary black hole waveform. So this is illustrated in this plot. We see that because of this tidal deformation, there's a deviation between BNS or binary neutron star waveform and the point particle binary black hole waveform. And this effect is most significant at around a GW frequency of 1 kilohertz or so. So that's where the dynamics is highly relativistic and the gravity is sort of at the extreme limit. So understanding this tidal interaction will be really important for our understanding of gravity at this extreme regime. And also from the tidal deformation of the neutron star, we can inform valuable information like the neutron star equation of state. And a very successful story is this detection GW170817, which is also the first binary neutron star event detected by LIGO and Virgo. So from this event, we measure some finite tidal deformability of the neutron star. And from this event, we can already place some interesting constraints on the neutron star equation of state. And in particular, very hard equation of state, meaning very puffy neutron star models are already disfavored after this detection. And then in order to study this tidal interaction, the most accurate way is probably to use numerical relativity. But then doing a full numerical relativity simulation can be quite expensive. So it would be great if we can come up with some analytical approximations or you know, first principle analytical calculations that can explain features in numerical relativity. So this will be important first for data analysis purpose, because analytical waveforms can be more efficiently generated for data analysis purpose. And also analytical waveforms will give us insights to the deep physics. And then in this plot, we compare kind of the state of the art tidal waveform model with numerical relativity simulation. And we see that although for most part of the in-spiral, the model agrees very well with the theory. The model agrees very well with numerical relativity. Near the final merger, the model underpredicts the tidal phase shift by something like 1 radian or so. So what's the cause of this 1 radian missing phase? That's something we would like to address or at least, you know, provide some potential solution in this study.
Sorry, Matt, come here. So you're saying this is a linear theory misses 1 radian, but this is like just a PN. This is a linear PN theory. It does not have all the higher order PN tidal term. So it could be this 1 radian comes from the
higher. Yes, that's exactly what I'm getting at. So we noticed that all this previous study, they assume a linear tidal response. And by linear here, we mean since that's a linear in the tidal displacement. And we think it's also important to include effects that are nonlinear in the tidal displacement. And that corresponds to, you know, new terms in the Hamiltonian of the system describing the high order wave-wave interactions, so 3-wave interaction, 4-wave interactions inside the neutron star. And also the mass quadrupole of the neutron star will be modified with this high order effects. So this will effectively modify the tidal forcing of the you know experienced by the neutron star. So that's kind of the key thing we want to address in this study. So essentially, we want to study effects due to things that are nonlinear in the tidal displacement or nonlinear hydrodynamics. Yeah. And then before going to the physics, let me first show you the key results of our study here in this slide. So what we found is that compared to this linear height theory, or shown in this orange-ish curve, we find that by including the nonlinear height, the phase shift is enhanced by something like 1 radian or so near 1,000 hertz. So this is consistent with the discrepancy we saw between the previous linear theory and numerical relativity. And that's why we think the nonlinear height could be something interesting, and it could at least in part mitigate the discrepancy we saw. So for the rest of this talk, I'll try to explain what's the physics behind this 1 radian here. And also I want to emphasize that 1 radian is something large enough to have a detection or to be detectable. So this study will be interesting not only for theoretical purpose, but also, you know, have some real data analysis impacts. And then, so since not everyone here think about tidal interaction every day, I'll start by give an overview on how the tide affecting GW signal. So for that, let's first consider the point particle case. Imagine a binary with some initial orbital energy. And then because of the GW radiation, this original orbital energy will decay in time. And one thing we measure really well from the gravitational wave signal is the total accumulated phase of the signal. So very crudely speaking, that corresponds to the time it takes for the spiral to happen. And then what happens if we include tidal interaction? So in this case, so we start with the same amount of initial orbital energy, but now some of this orbital energy will needs to go to the tidal interaction, you know, to raise up the tidal bulge, etc. So as a result, less amount of orbital energy will need to be radiated away by gravitational wave. So as a result, because less energy is needed to be removed, the total in spiral time, the in spiral duration will decrease. And so this causes the accumulated phase to be less compared to the point particle case. And that's why when we talk about tidal phase shift, the tidal phase shift is something negative. So the stronger this tidal interaction is, more energy will be removed from the orbit, and the more negative this phase shift will be. And another way for the tide to affect the orbital interaction is that, you know, once this tidal bulge reaches some sufficient amplitude, then it will introduce extra dissipations into the system. It can be like GW radiation, or it can be, you know, fluid viscosity, etc. So this means at any moment, more energy can be dissipated away, can be dissipated from the system. So this is another way for the tide to accelerate the orbital decay of the system. And mathematically, the two effects can be summarized into this equation. The first term corresponds to a conservative interaction, so meaning the tide modifying the equilibrium energy of the system. So this affects the amount of energy needs to be removed by gravitational wave. And then the second term corresponds to a dissipative effect. So meaning, you know, how much energy can be removed. So there will be gravitational wave, but then there can be other additions introduced by the tide. In this work, the nonlinear effect we consider is mainly a conservative effect. It corresponds to mainly the first term. So meaning that by introducing the nonlinear interaction, the tidal bulge will be larger than the linear case, so it can remove more energy from the orbit and thus cause a stronger tidal effect. And this is to be distinguished from the PG instability, which is another very important nonlinear effect. It's first worked out by Nevin Weinberg, and also Reed Essick here did some important contributions to this direction. So the PG instability is mainly a dissipative effect. So it changes the dissipation rate of the system. So that's a slightly different nonlinear effect than what we consider in this work. And in this table, we further summarize the distinction between this work and the PG instability. So as we said earlier, the nonlinear effect we consider here is mainly conservative interaction. And then the PG instability is mainly a dissipative effect. In terms of frequency, the nonlinear tide we consider here will be more important at higher frequencies. And this effect is mainly demonstrated or manifested at 1,000 Hz. But the PG instability is important at relatively lower frequencies, something around 50 to 100 Hz or so. And in terms of modal decomposition, the nonlinear tide we consider can be thought as the interaction among low order F modes. So by F mode, I mean the fundamental oscillation of the neutron star. Those are really long wavelength oscillations. The wavelength is comparable to the size of the neutron star. So the effect we consider should have been resolved by numerical relativity simulations. And that's why we can use our analytical work to try to explain features in numerical relativity. And in comparison, the PG corresponds to the tidal flow coupling to very high order PMOS and GMOS. So those are very short wavelength oscillations, and they are beyond the resolution of current numerical relativity simulations. So the PG instability is not something seen in numerical relativity yet.
I have a question.
Yes.
So then this means that all numerical relativity waveforms don't have this effect into account, so they're not correct? Or how big, do we know how big this effect is and how much it would modify a numerical relativity waveform?
I guess because numerical relativity, it mainly simulates, you know, the last few cycles of the waveform. And then this effect, you know, Nevin and Reed, they did some analytical calculations and they demonstrated that if this effect is important, it will be important in the early part of the in-spiral.
Right, it's an initial condition.
Yes, yeah, so sort of like it's just affecting the initial condition, but you know, once you enter the last few cycles where, you know, numerical relativity starts, people start to simulate things, that's really just a, you know, slight modification.
I see, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, now that we have like a qualitative understanding of how the tide affects the gravitational waves signal, the next question we want to address is that why the nonlinear tide is important, why the nonlinear tide can make the tidal bulge, you know, much larger compared to the linear case. And for that, we start by considering the linear tide situation. In this case, we can essentially model the tidal response as a forced harmonic oscillator. The natural frequency for this oscillator is essentially the dynamical frequency of the neutron star. So because here we are interested in the F mode, and that's the fundamental oscillation of the neutron star, that's the long wavelength oscillation. So the Eigen frequency is just the dynamical frequency of the neutron star. And then for most part of the in-spiral is forced by twice of the twice of the orbital frequency, which is essentially the same as the GW frequency. And so as a result, the tidal forcing is much, the forcing frequency is much smaller compared to the Eigen frequency of the system. So we're very well in this adiabatic limit. meaning the tidal bulge just follows sort of the instantaneous potential, equipotential of the companion. But then near the final merger, when the binary separation is something like twice the radius of the neutron star, then the tidal forcing frequency will naturally be on the same order as the dynamical frequency of the neutron star. So in this case, the adiabatic approximation breaks down and the dynamical tide becomes important. So here by dynamical tide, really what I mean is that the F mode will be nearly resonantly excited. So because of this prefactor here, and it's important because the in the denominator, the forcing frequency is roughly comparable to the Eigen frequency of the mode. In reality, if the neutron star is not spinning, then the forcing frequency will be slightly lower than the Eigen frequency, even at, you know, when the neutron star contacts each other. So the mode is not exactly resonated, the mode does not exactly hit the resonance, but still this prefactor can be significant, and that leads to amplifications of the tidal response. So in terms of tidal phase shift, the tidal phase shift goes from this black dashed line to this orange solid line. So it increased by something like one radian or so due to this dynamical tide. And also we see that near the final merger, because the mode is close to resonance, the tidal response will be sensitive to perturbations on the Eigen frequency of the mode, simply because the denominator right now is a small number. So we're now ready to see why the nonlinear tide can be important. In this work, we show that effectively we can view the nonlinear interaction as a frequency shift of the original linear oscillator's Eigen frequency. So in the linear picture, a mode has a constant Eigen frequency, but once we include nonlinear interactions, what we show is that effectively this Eigen frequency is no more a constant, but it changes due to as the orbital configuration changes. And we further show that this frequency shift is in general a negative value. So meaning that the Eigen frequency will be lower compared to the linear case. And that means the mode will be more resonant, more resonant with the orbit near the end. And that's why the dynamical tide can be further enhanced. And this leads to also an enhancement in the tidal phase shift. So going from this orange line to the gray line here, and the enhancement is about one radian or so. So this one radian is roughly speaking consistent with what's missing between the previous linear theory and the numerical relativity simulation. So that's kind of the reason why we believe this nonlinear tide can be an interesting thing to be considered. And more quantitatively, so there's actually the nonlinear tide will introduce both a frequency shift and also a modification to the forcing potential. Fractionally, both the frequency shift and the potential modification at the leading order, they all go as the radius of the neutron star over binary separation to the cubic power. So formally, the nonlinear tide would enter at something like 8 pn order. But because of this resonance, because of mode resonance, near the final merger, before the final merger, near the final stage of the in spiral, the effect due to this frequency shift will be amplified. And so it's actually more important than just like a pure 8 pn or constant 8 pn effect. And actually, I think it enters this at the same order as the dynamical tide. And that's why we see things, they have similar amplitudes. And then, so one thing we mentioned, this nonlinear correction is mainly a frequency shift. And this, in order for this frequency shift to significantly enhance the tidal response, the frequency shift needs to be a negative value. So the mode resonance needs to be enhanced. And then is there an intuitive way for us to understand the origin of this frequency shift, and especially why this frequency shift is in general a negative value? So for this, we can consider a toy model. So let's imagine we drill a hole through the center of the neutron star, and then let's just model the neutron star as, you know, with a uniform density. If we release a test particle inside this hole, one can show that the test particle will oscillate as a harmonic oscillator. And in this case, the oscillation frequency is just the dynamical frequency of the neutron star, which, you know, to order unity is also the Eigen frequency of the F mode we're interested in. So we can think such a test particle as a probe of the, you know, Eigen frequency of the F mode. And now what happens if we place a companion into this game? So let's imagine the companion is along the direction of this hole. Then because of this companion's tidal potential, this test particle will be be pulled away from the center. So in this case, the test particle will still oscillate as a harmonic oscillator, but the frequency will experience a shift, and the frequency and the fractional correction goes as the radius of the neutron star over the separation to the cubic power, which is exactly what we saw in previous slide. And so we think this is sort of like the picture or kind of like an intuitive explanation of the origin of this frequency shift we saw in our full analysis. And then another way for the nonlinear hydrodynamics to affect the mode frequency is illustrated in this cartoon here. So suppose we put some initial energy into the mode, then, you know, the mode will also deform the background star. So in this case, the background star is no more a sphere, but it will be having an elliptical shape, so as shown here. And in this case, the oscillation in such an elliptical star will also experience a frequency shift compared to the, you know, unperturbed case. But in this case, the frequency shift goes as the energy of the mode, or formally it goes as the radius of the neutron star or separation to the sixth power. So this is actually nothing more than the unharmonicity of an oscillator. So, you know, here we use this mode oscillation. Another classical example is, say, we imagine a pendulum. If this pendulum's oscillation has a large amplitude, then the leading order nonlinear correction is a frequency shift. So that's exactly the same thing here. But such unharmonicity of free oscillator, it goes as the energy of the mode. So it's actually a higher order thing compared to the frequency shift we discussed in the previous slide. So the frequency shift produced by the companion. And this is also numerically verified in this plot. So we see that throughout the band of interest, the dominant frequency shift comes from this companion's direct impact instead of the unharmonicity. And another interesting point to make is that the PG instability is actually a special case of this nonlinear unharmonicity. For the low order F mode, the nonlinear correction is very small. So it's just like, say, 1 in 100 or something like that. So here it behaves as a frequency shift. But for a very high order G mode, the frequency shift can be, you know, greater than the original frequency itself. So in this case, omega squared, you know, instead of being modified slightly, it can go to a negative value. And that means the mode will experience exponential growth. So that's actually the physics behind the PG instability. But here, for the F mode, it's a subdominant effect. The main effect comes from the presence of the companion shifting the oscillating frequency. And this frequency shift is negative, so the mode will be more resonant with the orbit. And that leads to an amplification of the tidal response near the end. Lastly, let me mention very briefly about the... Yes.
Sorry, can I ask a question?
Yes,
sure. Yeah, hey. So when you say the frequency goes negative, wouldn't that just mean that it would be like a prograde versus a retrograde versus the prograde? When you need like the imaginary part of the frequency to change for it to get like growth?
Yeah, I guess for frequency, what I mean goes to negative is the frequency square. So really the nonlinear thing, it modifies the omega square. So it's not omega goes to negative, it's omega square goes to negative.
Sure, okay, thank you.
Yeah, so in this case, omega becomes imaginary, and then that means the exponential growth. Yeah, and so lastly, let me mention just very briefly about the detectability of this nonlinear tide. We mentioned previously this the phase shift introduced by the nonlinear tide or delta phi 2 in this plot is actually quite comparable to the phase shift introduced by this linear dynamical tide or delta phi 1 here. So since there have been a couple of studies demonstrating the dynamical tide being, or the linear dynamical tide being an important correction to the LIGO waveform, we just believe this nonlinear tide will also be an important correction because really they're kind of comparable. And also in the absolute number, 1 radian is large enough. 1 radian is a significant fraction of a cycle. So we indeed expect or kind of like from an intuitive point of view, we do expect this nonlinear tide to have some impact on the LIGO data analysis. And we can also crudely estimate, if we can really see this feature of this nonlinear tide by considering the mismatch between a waveform, including the nonlinear tide and without the nonlinear tide. And here we did something like kind of a hacky way, is just we take a binary black hole waveform and then we add in the phase shift, either due to the linear model or due to the nonlinear tide model. And then we compare the difference between the two. And we demonstrate that for advanced LIGO at design sensitivity, we should be able to get enough signal to noise ratio to distinguish the mismatch if the binary merges within 100 megaparsec, and if the binary has some favorable orientation. And then for the next generation detector like Cosmic Explorer or Einstein Telescope, we should be able to see the nonlinear tide out to 1 gigaparsec in distance. And that is really for a single event detection or the detection of a single event. The nonlinear tide we talk about, it actually exists in all binary neutron star systems. So, you know, in the future, we will detect many more such systems, and we would expect the nonlinear effect to be amplified, or the significance of this nonlinear tide to be amplified when we do event stacking of, you know, a population of detections. And if we do not account for this thing properly, then it's easy to imagine that our, you know, constraints on the neutron star equation of state can be biased, or you know, similar effects would happen. So that's pretty much all I want to see, or all I want to say in this talk. The take-home messages are the following. We show that this nonlinear interaction can lead to something like on the order of 1 radian tidal phase shift. This happens at a GW frequency of 1 kilohertz. The correction we find from this nonlinear tide is roughly consistent with the discrepancy between, you know, previous linear theory and numerical relativity. So this suggests the nonlinear tide could be something interesting to consider if we want to improve our waveform accuracy. And the key physics behind this nonlinear tide is that it can be viewed effectively as a modification of the linear oscillation frequency. Once we include nonlinear tide, the mode eigenfrequency is no more a constant, but it will go to a lower value as the binary decays or as the orbit decays. So this will enhance the resonance of the F mode near the final merger or kind of near the end of the spiral. And this leads to, you know, a stronger dynamical tide than the linear series prediction. And it thus leads to this 1 radian extra phase shift. And 1 radian is something large enough, you know, significant fraction of a cycle. So we would expect it to have something detectable potentially by LIGO in the future, in the near future. So that's all I have. I mean, it's kind of a short seminar. So hopefully there's enough time for questions, if there's any.
Great, thank you, Hao. Is there any questions? Yeah.
Very nice talk. So I'm wondering, the nonlinear tidy effect sensitive to different equation states?
Yes, that's actually an excellent question. So kind of, because this nonlinear tide is kind of like, say, sourced by the linear tide, so like a intuitive scaling is that it will go as the log number squared. So the linear tide goes as the log number, and then the nonlinear tide at this leading order will go as the log number squared. So that gives the rough scaling. And here we did choose a relatively relatively hardish equation of, say, or really it's just the gamma equals 2 polytrope. So if we use a softer equation of state, then potentially the nonlinear tide will be weaker. But at least for some equation of states, this thing will exist. And the rough scaling is that it goes as the log number squared.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I think Phil has a question.
Yes, can you hear me?
Oh, hi.
Hi. Thanks very much for the interesting talk. I just wanted to ask a little bit more about the details of the stellar model. Maybe you mentioned this and I missed it, but when you're treating the modes, is this a Newtonian stellar model or a relativistic stellar model?
Yes, it's a currently we're using a Newtonian model. So Newtonian gamma equals 2 polytrope. So that's kind of this consistent with the treatment, the earlier work, like the Flanagan Hinders 2008 paper. But we're thinking about extending this to more relativistic calculation. One thing is that the nonlinear tide itself goes as the log number square, and we know how the log number scale, you know, from the Newtonian star to post-Newtonian star. And also because it's mainly a conservative effect, so it's really a correction to the Hamiltonian, and we already identified the, you know, new terms needs to be added, and then the terms need to be modified. So we also think it's straightforward for us to extend this to a full EOB framework, so that we can generate more ready-to-use waveform models for LIGO data analysis. And that's something we're thinking as the next step.
Okay, yeah, that sounds great. I guess the other thing is, if you introduce rotation in the relativistic context, that will change the mode structure.
Yeah. Another interesting thing of rotation is the comparison between this. It's actually the frequency shift. So this thing is really a strictly, radius over separation to cubic scaling. It doesn't gets amplified by mode resonance, but the unharmonicity actually goes as the energy of the mode. So if we imagine we have a rotating neutron star and the mode can become resonantly excited, that can actually amplify the unharmonicity's contribution relative to the equilibrium tide contribution. And that's actually something very interesting to study in the future.
I see. Okay, thank you. Good to know.
Maybe I can ask a question as well. So yeah, I guess I asked this earlier. You said this is an 8 PN effect, although this it contributes to the dynamic tide, so the effect is large. But the linear PN tide you were quoting, right? So they were just computing the leading and X leading order tidal effect. So there is still, right? So there is still 6 or 7 or 8 PN or other even higher PN order like linear tide effect not included in the original. Do you think whether it's possible that the discrepancy may also come from this higher PN corrections, like the missing higher PN terms?
That's definitely possible. That's why we consider this nonlinear type is just a potential explanation here. But also from this 2016 paper, I think their calculation does include, you know, the linear tide with some PN corrections. I mean, maybe the PN order is not high enough. I actually don't know how well.
Yeah, leading and next to leading order PN.
Yeah. So I think that's already there, and that's not enough to explain the difference.
Yeah, because you're talking about very high frequencies, right? So it's near merger, so it's possible that higher PN order terms become more and more important near the merger. And
yes, that's definitely possible. So our calculation is more like kind of like a Newtonian extension of this, you know, 2008 and 2010 papers. So we include nonlinear hydrodynamics, but our calculation is essentially like a Newtonian plus GW radiation from both the neutron star, from both the orbit and the neutron star. But so it's definitely possible, like, you know, some higher order PN terms will also be important. So I guess all those effects should be included in the future so that we can really compare things. Compare the relative importance of all different.
Cool. I see. Reed has a question.
Yeah. Hong, let me thank you again for the great talk. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm just speculating here. You mentioned that these nonlinear contributions may go like the Love number squared, right? Like the linear tide go like the Love number. So does that mean that if you included, you know, higher order effects, like I think that previously when I've heard you talk about this, you mentioned that essentially you're going up to like quadratic terms, right, in the fluid equation.
Yes.
So if you included cubic terms or something like that, would those terms show up as Love number cubed? And therefore, like, do we know that we've stopped at a high enough order? Sorry, that may not be a well-phrased question.
So I guess one thing we can I'll say in the analytical calculation we kind of stop at the three wave interaction, but in the numerical calculation we did include four mode terms, and actually the formal interaction will be extremely important because if we just have a three mode system, one can show that the Hamiltonian is not sort of like a bounded in terms of mode amplitude. So if we numerically, we just do like a three mode simulation, near the end, we will see like an unphysical runaway of the mode energy. And this will go away once we include four mode contributions. So although the analytical derivation kind of stops at the three wave order. In numerical calculations, we did include four wave interaction. And I think one thing, the four wave interaction makes life easier actually, because the first order four wave interaction cancels largely the second order three wave interactions. So kind of like in terms of fluid interaction, the next two leading or the next order term gets canceled out because there's two effects. And I mean, that's the same thing happening in the PG instability. So kind of that makes life easier.
And sorry, maybe one more quick question. So are you doing like mode network calculations here? Coding up the interaction integrals and like amplitude equations, or are you just solving for the whole fluid in the star?
We actually just solve individual modes. We don't like say explicitly, you know, do or like analytically do the summation over all the modes. And that's kind of okay here because the thing we consider is like the long wavelength interaction. So it's really just F mode and first P mode, that's it. So the high order modes doesn't contribute so much.
Okay, very cool. Thank you.
Any other questions for Hong? Well, if not, let's thank Hong again for the very nice talk.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. Thank you.